I don't have a cold. Don't worry. I'm just still blubbering. Grace alone. What I'm going to try to do today is go through those 5 points. It's amazing how that just hits us. I like to kid around a bit. You know, when Jesus comes across Nicodemus in the night, because Nicodemus doesn't want to be seen going out and contacting Jesus, one of the Pharisees, I like to call that story a little Nick at Night. Little Nick at Night. And the funny thing is, this is part of the lectionary for today. This John 3, verses 1 to 17, is actually part of our lectionary. And as I was looking through all the lectionary, I thought, I can't preach on all this stuff. It's too much, but it's too good. I always talk to you about, I can't stop reading the scripture. I can't stop. It's so good. You want to keep going. And this is that. Nicodemus has studied the law his whole life, his whole career, and now he finds, as Jesus tells him, that it's just being born again. Nicodemus followed. He didn't just study the law. He followed it. He did it. But it wasn't enough. It was by grace alone, the mercy of Jesus Christ for us, being born again. And little Nick at Night was really having a hard time with that. How in the world can I do that? How can I be born again? More on that another time. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, as Barb read so ably for us. Faith alone. The Lord says to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. We read these things and we think, oh, no big deal. I'll just do that. Abraham went without knowing anything, just picked up and went by faith. Where was he going? What was he going to do? It reminds me so much, yet it's a little bit different. It's kind of like my son always saying, hey, Dad, there's a dog just like mine, only different. So this is an illustration just like that, only different. My wife and I felt called to be missionaries to South America. We sold our house, we sold our cars, we sold our furniture, and said, we're not coming back to the United States. We picked up and we went. Now, I guess the way it's exactly the same is my wife, because she had to learn a new language, she had to blindly follow the Lord and her husband to South America. For me, I was kind of doing that. That's where it's different. I had been raised there. I knew kind of where I was going. And I was excited to get there again. How many of us would be maybe like my wife and like Abraham and would say, I'm going. I'm flying blind into this. I don't know where it is. We're going VFR instead of IFR, Gary. We're just going to fly blind and trust that the Lord is going to take us. It's a faith decision, isn't it? Some of you who came with us to Argentina when we went on our mission trip looked at me after a couple of days and said, oh, now I understand you, Pastor Mark. It was easier for me. But back to Abraham. The Lord keeps telling him that he will make a great nation of him, out of himself and out of Sarah, over and over again. When he first got the promise, he was 75. Sarah was 65. And when they finally had Isaac, he was 100 and Sarah was 90. You already heard that in the children's message. 25 years of getting a promise. Someday I'd love to preach that to you, the whole thing going bit by bit with every single promise. It's unbelievable that it just keeps hammering in, hammering in, hammering in to Abraham. 25 years worth. Think of where you were 25 years ago. And if you had received a promise and you just waited and waited, how many times would you say, I don't know if this is happening? Should we sell the house? I don't know. Let's pray about it. 25 years later, yeah, you should, or no, you shouldn't. It's like, what? I can't operate like that. But here they did. We talk about the faith of these two, but we also need to realize the doubts they had along the way. The laughing of Sarah, she heard the promise that she would give birth in her old age. It was like, boy, are you off. I can't do that. Giving birth in her old age. Abraham doubting and having a child with Hagar, the handmaid. And we know from that a whole bunch of other nations were birthed there through Ishmael. What an interesting thing, how God takes something that Abraham was trying to figure out and makes it into something good. But remember, a great blessing and a great nation. All the nations on earth will be blessed through this couple. Wow. Would you want this? No, Pastor Mark, I don't think I can handle it. I'm like, what? Of course. That would be so awesome. I want this. I say, lay it on me, bro. Make me somebody like that. You ever notice when people are about to die, even the very wealthy ones, what do they want? They want a legacy. They want to be remembered for something. Psalm 121 speaks to us of how the Lord will watch over us. We used it in our call to worship today. How he will support us. How he will protect us. Do the hills bring us our strength? No. The Lord brings us the strength. There's always this counter thing going on when we talk about faith. Faith without works is dead. Have you heard that before? That's out of the book of James. The book that Luther wanted to ignore. It didn't work for him. Justified by faith. And that's all correct. Yet here's this thing that bugs him. Like, how come we have to have some works? And indeed, I'm bringing it up to you because we have our essentials. Grace, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture, and the glory of God. Where is works in that? We are saved through no effort of our own or good works of our own. And it's after we're saved that we need to pay attention to how we live our lives. That's where those works begin. So let's look at Romans 4, 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. Here we have the treatise. What if Abraham had been able to do this on his own? Justified by his own works. This is the answer we hear from people when I ask them, do you think you're going to heaven? And you can think of this in your mind's eye. I'm asking you. It's rhetorical. Do you think you're going to heaven? And what is the response? Well, I've tried to be a good person. I'm pretty sure the Lord is happy with what I've done. I've always tried to give in church, offering. I've tried to help the poor. I think I've been a good person. I think I've worked at it pretty hard. Even thousands of years before our Lord Jesus came into this world of ours, Abraham believed God. And what happened to him because of it? What does the scripture say? It was credited to him as righteousness. He believed. This is faith, and this is salvation, and it's through faith alone. It's not because he was a good person.
not because he worked at it and did something great. Faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It's amazing how Paul, as he's writing to the Romans, has confirmation of the passage from Genesis. It keeps that congruence between the Old and the New Testament, the congruence of Scripture. But let's move on to 13 through 17. And here we have something I find fascinating. And this is always that difficulty that we have sometimes as we talk about what needs to be done to be saved. And you remember the early Christians were arguing, saying, well, if you've been saved, you need to get circumcised like the rest of us who are Jews, who are Christians now, following the Lord. And it's fascinating because Abraham is our example of one who was both uncircumcised and circumcised. As he got the promise, then he took on the mark of being the promised, and he was circumcised. This shows it was not Abe's obedience. I'm calling him Abe now. I'm calling Nicodemus Nick, and Abraham I'm calling Abe. But it was not his obedience to the law that brought about the promise to him to be the father of many nations. It was his being chosen for it and his faith in it. In verse 14, this is made very clear. I want to just read that to you. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless. So living by law alone makes the promise worthless. And in verse 16, I believe that this would hold all of our discussions today. I need to go a little bit before it. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. There we have it. So that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Does that sound pedantic? God calls things that are not as if they were. Oh, wow. Truly a God of the impossible, right? A God who can bring a child to a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old father. This is the kind of God that I think I want. No, I don't think I want. I want this kind of God. We have this kind of God. And as we look to Christ alone, we discover it's written in Scripture alone. It is for us to learn. It is recorded there. Today we have read through a part of Genesis. We've talked a little bit about Nick at Night in the John 3 session. And Romans. It's to record this truth on our hearts. It's where we find truth. And the end result of this is what? It's for and only for the glory of God alone. So now all of these things stand. We must never forget that the glory of God is the reason for our existence. We are to do everything in our power to make this a reality, and that which we just cannot seem to do. We reach out to Christ for his help that we may be able to do it. So we want to do everything in our power. And the things we cannot do, we ask Jesus Christ to help us do. It's possible to take this seriously enough that our lives do not feel complete unless we are taking our faith and knowing that it is faith alone, yet working out our salvation to complete his will on earth before the crazy granite planet blows apart. We need to remember the words of our invocation this morning. O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. In closing, I just want to say, what is the block or impediment in all of this? Do you long for more faith? Do you find it even impossible to believe? I'm talking about faith this morning. I'm talking about it being in faith alone, in Christ alone. And I find, I have a lot of favorite passages, but this one just knocks me out. It's out of Mark 9. We haven't read it this morning, so I've got to give you a little context on it, and it's very brief. There's a boy who is possessed by a demon, and the disciples are trying to free this boy from this demonic possession. And they're praying and praying, and they cannot do it. And so as they bring this boy to him, Jesus says, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So he's like, come on, I've taught you how to do this already. They brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. I find it interesting because Jesus just turns to the boy's father calmly and says, how long has he been like this? From childhood, answered the father. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus says, everything is possible for him who believes. Do you hear that? The man says, if you can you deliver us from this? And Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. This is the line that rips me apart. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to overcome my unbelief. Do you hear that? His desire to have faith, his desire to believe. He says, if you believe, I can work this miracle. And the man says, I believe, but help my unbelief. He knows he has doubts, and he's asking the Lord. It's what I said earlier. We can do all three things through Christ who strengthens us, but when we have that kernel of doubt, we can ask him to help us, and he will, just as Jesus did here. Jesus saw the crowd running. He rebuked the evil spirit, and he says, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed the boy, and it came out of him. Jesus picked him up by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. And this piece is incredible. I'm going to give you 2 points of it. The first one is, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to overcome it. And the second one is, when the disciples say, how come we couldn't do it? And what does Jesus respond? This kind of sickness, this kind of illness, this kind of demonic possession can only be beat with prayer. Indicating the importance of prayer, indicating the importance of why we're in a full-on prayer week by week in the fireside room on Wednesday nights. Prayer changes and moves things. Faith alone, a need for action on our part with prayer. Yet the end result is glory to God. Please pray with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you have come and saved us. You have left your spirit with us till your work on earth is done. We can rely on it. We can rely on you and your Father. Thank you for watching over us. Lord, we ask that when we have doubts and feel like our faith is failing, that you, when we cry out to you, can bolster up that faith, because it is through faith alone and Christ alone that we are saved and work out your glory on this earth. In your name we pray. Amen.